Welcome to the ICANN podcast, the podcast of the Indiana Catholic Conference. The Indiana Catholic Conference is the official public policy voice of the Catholic bishops of Indiana. Welcome back to the ICANN podcast. This is Alexander.
And Angela.
And we're here for another week of talking about what's going on down at the State House in Indianapolis.
We are quickly drawing to a close. You might remember that earlier on we said that in even-numbered years, such as this, 2024, by law, they have to be finished by March 15th, and we are knocking on the door of March, the beginning of March, and committee meetings are done. There are a lot of dead bills, and so, Alexander, you want to tell us some of the things that have come to a close?
Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of pulling from what's on our bill tracker online, some of the things that are still alive that we've been watching going through the process here until the end. So one of them, you've heard us talk about it many times, we've had articles about it, is Senate Bill 17 requiring age verification for an adult-oriented website, basically a pornography website. And that has it's passed both chambers. And there were some minimal amendments and kind of a State House 102, perhaps, is if a bill is amended in one chamber, then it has to go back to its original chamber. And then it goes up for what's called a concurrence vote. So basically, it's that other chamber who didn't make the changes saying, yes, we agree to these changes that were made. And so after the concurrence happens, and if that goes through, then the bill gets sent to the governor for him to
sign.
Now,
if they don't agree, then there's a conference committee. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting process, too, because there are going to be, you know, people from both sides, Republicans, Democrats. Mm-hmm. But depending on who's in charge of the committee, they can kick people off. So it's an interesting process. But given the nature of this bill, I would think that they would agree, they would concur, and we won't have to go through that conference committee.
Right. So that one should be heading to the governor soon. I'd say pretty similar broad support for Senate Bill 190, which expands disaster relief funding from the state level.
And you might recall 190, the disaster relief, the governor made reference to it in his State of the State address, so mm-hmm. There's no reason to think that he won't sign that. There's no reason to think that he would not protect minors from illicit material, so we can count both of those as going to be signed unless something catastrophic and unforeseen happens.
Yeah. One that didn't end up making it through, I want to highlight it because I don't think we really talked about why it stopped. This is Senate Bill 200, and it has to do with nonprofit loans. And it's something that we supported in the first half. It made it out of the Senate with pretty broad support, and then it stopped in the House. And the main reason for that was the chairman on the House side wasn't willing to hear the bill, and I think there was some discussions in leadership as well. And so that's something that we're going to have to continue to fight for in future years.
Which, you know, begs the question, why aren't you willing to hear it? You take time out for resolutions to, you know, dedicate some highway or proclaim some vegetable great. I mean, do your job. You know, this is already past one side. You know, it should have been heard.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think we're going to have to work hard to get that through on the House side this next year. We're grateful that it passed the Senate.
And it's not controversial. It's something to help mm-hmm. Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm. The last two bills that are still on our bill tracker page are the two that we're going to focus on for the rest of our podcast here. So first, let's tackle House Bill 1426. This one has to do with long-acting reversible contraceptives.
Are referred to as LARC.
Mm-hmm. Such a funny term, LARC. So this bill originally required hospitals to stock and offer some types of long-acting reversible contraceptives, including
something that would be implanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the original bill included something, IUDs, intrauterine devices, as well as subdermal implants that you would get like under your skin.
Think Norplant from years ago.
In your And so later on, IUDs were amended out of the bill. Something that we are grateful for in this is the religious exemption. So a Catholic hospital such as Franciscan or
faith-based Lutheran.
Correct. Who doesn't want to do this because of that faith objection can basically opt out of that.
What we weren't so happy about was that we asked for an amendment. If the goal is to prevent unwanted pregnancies, is to provide information about natural family planning. Mm-hmm. Now, we are well aware that people might not be familiar with it and think it's not scientific or it's risky or not reliable and you'll end up with, you know, dozens and dozens of babies. But that just isn't true. There mm-hmm. is science behind it, and it's not difficult once you, you know, make yourself aware of, you know, how to practice it. And it doesn't cost a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that we really want to stress is that the what we're saying is we're advocating for these the evidence-based methods. And something that can do natural family planning a disservice is some of the other associated types that might fall into that category, like certain apps and trackers that aren't well-researched. Not to say that they have no benefit, but what we're pointing to are the methods, specific methods that are well researched and show their effectiveness very clearly, especially in comparison to other artificial forms of contraception.
And we also know that you do not have to be Catholic to want to avail, make use of natural family planning. I know a lot of young women now. Just like, you know, organic drinks are, you know, and kombucha is, you know, big with people. People like want to go the natural route. So this doesn't have to be limited to faith-based hospitals. And so having an amendment that says after a child is born, if you're telling people, if you're trying to avoid getting pregnant, you know, in the very near future, these are options, and unfortunately that amendment was not added.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, there was some scuttlebutt that in the future maybe offering this type of service in a standalone bill instead of muddying the waters of another bill would be something that might be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it in a way that, you know, this is an option, this isn't because, you know, these religious people are, you know, dominating and trying to change this bill and make people do things their way, but as a method to have more interaction and control over your body and another way, then maybe that'll happen. So we'll look forward to the future to see if that's something that can happen. Something that was distressing to me while there was testimony about this bill, there were a lot of reference to, you know, poor women, you know, not having babies, or people who were on drugs, not coming back to the doctor. And aside from, you know, the church's position on this type of contraception, it seemed to me that people were placing a value on the types of babies that should be born. And that's distressing to me to hear comments like that. And I think it should be to anyone. As the testimony continued, it wasn't just about, you know, unwanted pregnancies. It was unwanted pregnancies from a particular type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was
specifically a Medicaid recipient, right?
Right. There was a lot of talk about over 50% of the babies born in Indiana are born, you know, to mothers on Medicaid. Then there was also, there were a couple of comments about, well, this might be good because, you know, these women, because of their lifestyle, be they on drugs or if they're prostitutes or they're too poor, they might not go to the doctor on a regular basis. That should be concerning also. Why would you want to implant chemicals into someone who's not going to see a doctor on a regular basis? Because you don't know how her body's going to react with those, and that's alarming to me also. Yeah. And when you talk along those lines, you get dangerously close to eugenics. And for young people who don't know what that is, because luckily it's not taught anymore and it's not widely thrown out there as a method, it's the practice of that certain types of people are better for society, and those who aren't good enough or aren't deemed to be worthy, they shouldn't procreate. And so when you start talking about, you know, the poor people, the people on drugs, the prostitutes, not having babies, that smacks of eugenics, and that's just wrong.
Yeah, very good points. I want to kind of zoom out for a moment and think about, like, what's in part what's trying to be addressed by this bill, and how, like, the Catholic Conference looking at it thinks that those are things, important things to address. So one of them being maternal mortality rates. Indiana does not have good statistics when it comes to maternal mortality, as well as infant and child mortality. And so I think we can agree to an extent with what the state and legislators and our community looking at these things and saying, yes, these are really big problems. The church just kind of disagrees with how we might address those. There are many things that we can agree on, like...
Well, one thing would be having a real pregnancy accommodation bill.
Yes.
The thing that was passed a few years ago was basically, I can ask my employer and they can say no to giving me accommodations.
So that, and things like family leave, paid family leave, is something that the U.S. bishops and we at the ICC are continuing to look at and support. Things that...
Child tax credit.
Child tax credit, yeah.
Families can afford to have children instead of getting an earned income tax credit at the end of the year that's larger and frankly costs the government more money than if there was a monthly child tax credit.
Yeah. So I think there are many things. Those are just a few examples of ways that we think would be an appropriate, like, really wrapping those mothers in need, whoever they may be, in love and support. So, and that our state plays a role in that. Not every religious community or church has the capacity to do that. We should be doing that. And then let's, like, be partners with the state and try to pour as many resources towards creating a culture of life that the church always talks about. Yeah. Instead of saying, well, you know, you don't really need to have another baby, so let's put an implant in you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So hopefully that kind of helps our listeners to understand, like, where the ICC is in thinking about that. Before, in our last minute or two, we're going to talk very briefly about this 12, oh my goodness, I don't have it pulled up, 1284, deposit account agreements. That's the last bill that's still kind of alive on our bill tracker, and it's gone to the governor, and... it will allow banks and credit unions to make changes to our account agreements with limited guardrails.
Which begs the question, why do we have an agreement to begin with if one side can just change it whenever they want to?
Right. And so just as a refresher, if a bank were to make a change, Angela, they couldn't. They're not required to have you consent to those, right?
Under the current?
If the governor signs this bill.
Right. If you... If you do not close your account within the specified amount of time, I believe it moved from 9 days to 30 days, which still isn't a lot of time, then if you don't close your account, you've deemed to have consented, which also begs another question. Why can't I just say no? Why do I have to close my account and uproot my life, my financial situation? Because I don't want the newfangled agreement that I did not agree to in the first place.
Yeah. A lot of unknowns. So we hope that the governor is going to veto that one.
So to that end, please contact the governor and tell him to veto it.
There are action alerts on our website about 1426, the contraceptives bill, and for this bill as well. So we appreciate you using those and continuing to follow along. And last week is kind of the last full week of session. So we'll probably do a podcast next week as well. That may be our last one. Maybe we'll have one other. We'll see. But for all of you who are listening, stay tuned. And thank you so much for listening this week.
Continue to be prayerful and mindful during this Lenten season. God bless.
God bless.